Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're heading to the oak forests of Sweden.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. We've got some research here looking at how climate change is impacting these forests, and some of the findings are really pretty surprising.
Yeah, I was really intrigued by this research, particularly the way it uses that space for time substitution to sort of look ahead to the future of these forests. So essentially, they're using what's happening in different parts of Sweden right now to try to project.
Right. I was wondering about that.
How climate change will play out over time.
So they're basically using latitude as like a stand-in for time. So as the climate warms up, those warmer conditions that we see down south today will gradually shift northward.
Exactly. It's like a sneak peek into the future without having to wait decades for the effects to become apparent. The study focuses on a region in central Sweden called the Limes Norlandicus, which is a pretty interesting area. In terms of biodiversity, it's kind of where the temperate and boreal forest zones meet. So it's a real mixing pot of species, and that's why the researchers chose it.
Right. So it's like a natural experiment.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're using these different locations to kind of simulate how climate change could reshape these forests over time.
Exactly.
Very clever. Speaking of change, though, there's one finding in particular that I found really fascinating. You'd typically expect biodiversity to decrease as you move away from the equator, right?
Right.
Like the tropics are full of life, but up at the poles, things are a bit more, well, sparse.
Yeah, it's a pretty classic pattern globally.
Yeah, but that's not what they found in these Swedish oak forests, is it?
No, not at all. And that's what makes the study so interesting. They actually found that both plant and arthropod diversity increased with latitude. So basically more diversity up north, which is colder, than down south where it's warmer.
Wow. Okay, so that really flips the script.
It does. It really challenges our assumptions about how biodiversity is distributed.
I mean, we're talking about Sweden here, not the Amazon. So what could be driving this?
Well, there are a few potential explanations. One is that as temperatures rise, lots of species are expanding their ranges northward,
okay,
seeking out those cooler conditions. But at the same time, we're potentially seeing higher extinction rates in the south due to habitat loss, human activities, and those more extreme temperatures.
So it's like a double whammy. The species are getting pushed out of their homes in the south while simultaneously being drawn to the cooler north.
Exactly. And that northward migration is likely contributing to that higher diversity we see in the northern forests.
Mm-hmm.
They're becoming a refuge for species fleeing the heat. But it's not just about the number of species. The composition of those species also changes as you move north.
Right. Okay.
So the types of plants and arthropods they found were different in the warmer southern sites compared to the cooler northern ones.
So the shift in climate isn't just like shuffling the deck. It's changing the cards in the deck, too.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And it makes you wonder how these changes in biodiversity might impact the entire food web.
Right. That's a really important question, and it's something that ecologists are working to understand. These shifts in biodiversity could have cascading effects throughout the ecosystem, potentially changing predator-prey relationships, competition for resources,
right,
and even nutrient cycling.
I mean, I think this is where it gets really interesting for our listeners, right?
Yeah.
Because these findings have implications far beyond just the oak forests of Sweden.
Absolutely. It highlights how complex and often unpredictable the effects of climate change can be on biodiversity,
yeah,
and that it's a global issue.
You mentioned that this study focused on a particular region in Sweden, the Limes Norlandicus, right?
Yeah.
Could you tell us a bit more about that area? Why is it so important for biodiversity?
Well, it's fascinating because it's that transitional zone where the southern broadleaf dominated forests start to give way to those coniferous forests of the north. So it's kind of a natural meeting point.
Right, I see.
For species from both of these biomes, which is why it's got such high biodiversity. And that's what makes it such a crucial area to study in the context of climate change.
Mm.
Because we can see how this unique mix of species responds to that northward shift in climate.
Yeah, it's like having a front row seat to this ecological drama unfolding because of climate change.
Exactly.
And this research is giving us a glimpse into how this drama might play out on a much larger scale.
Yeah.
I'm curious, though, did the researchers just look at biodiversity in general, or did they look at how different conservation approaches might be influencing these patterns.
Oh, they did. They specifically compared protected areas to non-protected areas to see which were doing a better job at safeguarding biodiversity. And what they found was really quite surprising.
Ooh, okay, lay it on me. Are these protected areas living up to their name?
Well, the results were a bit of a mixed bag, actually. Surprisingly, they didn't find any significant difference in plant or arthropod species richness between the protected and non-protected areas.
Wait, really?
Yeah. So just because an area is designated as protected doesn't necessarily mean it has more biodiversity.
So you're telling me that drawing a line on a map and calling it a protected area doesn't guarantee that we're actually protecting all the different life within that area?
That's what the study suggests, yes.
Hmm. That's kind of concerning.
It is. It kind of suggests that we need to rethink our conservation strategies, especially with climate change reshaping everything.
So if just designating these protected areas isn't enough, then what else can we do? What other factors might be affecting biodiversity both inside and outside these protected areas? I mean, there's got to be more to it than just drawing lines on a map.
Oh, absolutely. It's not just about having protected areas. It's about how they're managed and what's happening in the surrounding landscape. And that's actually where the research gets even more interesting. So they also looked at oak tree growth as a way to measure forest productivity.
Oh.
And for this, they used a technique called dendrochronology.
Dendrochronology. Now that's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. But basically, it involves analyzing tree rings.
Oh, right. Tree rings. That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You can actually look at a tree's rings and learn all about its history.
Yeah, it's like reading a diary written in wood.
Exactly. So what they found was that oak growth rates weren't significantly affected by latitude or whether the oaks were in protected areas or not once they accounted for tree age.
Really? So even though the climate is warming, those oaks up north are still managing to grow just fine.
Yeah, pretty much. It seems those northern populations might be more adaptable than we thought.
Hmm. Interesting. So maybe we need to ditch that image of oaks as these delicate southern trees.
Right.
That can't handle a bit of cold.
It seems they're a lot tougher than that. This research suggests that maybe they've got some genetic adaptations to help them deal with colder temperatures.
Right.
Or maybe they're taking advantage of those longer daylight hours they get up north during the growing season.
It's pretty amazing how resilient nature can be, you know?
It is.
It's easy to get caught up in all the doom and gloom about climate change. But this research gives me a little bit of hope.
Yeah, me too.
It shows that some species, at least, might be able to adapt.
Yeah, for sure.
But that doesn't mean we can just sit back and relax.
No, definitely not.
So back to those protected areas for a second. If simply designating an area as protected isn't a guarantee for success, what else can we be doing? What did they find out about how to manage these areas effectively in a changing climate?
Well, one of the key takeaways was that what happens inside and around those protected areas really matters.
Yeah, okay.
They actually found some hints that certain non-protected areas might be doing a better job at supporting biodiversity.
Oh, really?
Yeah, possibly because of things like sustainable forestry practices being used by private landowners.
So it is possible to balance timber production with conservation, even without that official protected area label.
That's what it seems like, yeah. It's a really important point because it suggests that conservation efforts don't have to be limited to those designated protected areas.
Right.
We can also work with landowners to promote practices that are good for biodiversity on their land.
Yeah, it's about going beyond just drawing lines on a map.
Exactly.
It's about fostering a more collaborative approach to conservation that considers both protected areas and the landscapes around them.
Yeah.
And speaking of thinking beyond borders, this research has implications far beyond Sweden, right?
Oh, absolutely. This space for time approach could be applied to pretty much any ecosystem that's facing climate change.
Mm.
By comparing different points along a climate gradient, we can get a better understanding of how ecosystems might change in the future and then adapt our conservation strategies accordingly.
It's like having a sneak peek into the future of our planet's ecosystems.
Yeah.
An ecological crystal ball, you could say. But I want to shift gears a bit now and talk about something else that's often mentioned in discussions about climate change. Invasive species.
Okay, yeah.
We hear that term all the time, but I'm not always sure I really understand what it means.
It's a term that can be a bit tricky and often leads to debate.
So what does it actually mean?
Usually it's used to describe species that have been introduced to a new area outside of their native range, and they're seen as having negative impacts on the environment, economy, or even human health.
Okay, so they're not from around here, basically.
Right, but here's the thing with climate change, causing so many species to shift their ranges, that whole distinction between native and invasive starts to get blurry.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
What happens when a species that's considered native in one area starts moving into a new area because of climate change? Does it suddenly become an invader?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's not as simple as we sometimes make it seem.
It's like those old Western movies where someone crosses an imaginary line and suddenly they're an outlaw.
Exactly. So the question becomes, how should we manage these species in a world where the climate is constantly changing?
Right, because we can't just try to control every single species that moves into a new area, can we?
It's just not feasible.
So what's the alternative?
Well, I think we need to focus on understanding how these species function within the ecosystem.
Okay.
And how those roles might change as the climate continues to shift.
So instead of just labeling species as good or bad, we should be thinking more about their roles in the ecosystem.
Exactly. How do they interact with other species? What's their role in things like nutrient cycling? These are the questions we should be asking.
And this research, even though it focused on oak forests, shows how important it is to think about these things in a nuanced way, right?
Absolutely. We can't just cling to the old ways of thinking.
Yeah, we need to adapt.
We need to be flexible and willing to challenge those assumptions we have about how nature works.
It's about getting comfortable with uncertainty, wouldn't you say?
I think so, yeah.
Embracing the fact that ecosystems are constantly changing.
And that's the beauty of it.
Right.
Right.
So let's bring this back to our listeners for a moment. What can they do with all this new knowledge about oak forests and climate change?
Well, I think the first thing is to keep learning.
Yeah. Keep that curiosity going.
We've only just scratched the surface here.
Right.
There are tons of resources out there. Scientific articles, documentaries, books.
Dive deep into the world of oak forests, climate change, conservation.
Whatever interests you. And then take it a step further. Look around your own community. Are there oak forests near you? What kind of management practices are they using? Are there opportunities to get involved in local conservation efforts?
Yeah, great point. Getting involved locally is a great way to connect with nature.
And learn more about these issues firsthand.
And remember, even small actions can make a difference.
Absolutely. Planting native trees, reducing your carbon footprint, supporting sustainable businesses.
It all adds up.
Every little bit helps.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of oak forests and climate change, I want to leave you with one final thought. If protecting areas alone isn't enough to safeguard biodiversity with all this climate change, what other measures do you think we should consider? I mean, what role can individuals, communities, policymakers play in creating a more sustainable and resilient future for all these forests? It's really something to think about, and hopefully it inspires you to keep exploring these issues, because the future of these forests and really the future of our planet depends on us all working together, you know, learning from each other and coming up with creative solutions.
Yeah, that's a really important point. It's easy to feel kind of overwhelmed by how big these issues are.
Right.
But we all have a part to play.
For sure. Whether it's just making different choices in our daily lives or supporting organizations that are trying to protect these forests or even advocating for policy changes, we can all contribute.
And it doesn't always have to be some big, huge thing either. Sometimes the smallest things can make a difference.
That's true.
Like, plant a tree. Talk to your friends and family about these things and just, you know, never stop learning.
Well said. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the world of oak forests and climate change. Until next time, stay curious. And keep exploring.